bills to be heard today. With leave of the chair, committee members may ask questions of any person testifying. Other questions are not permitted. Whether or not you testify, you may submit written testimony to the committee. Please be mindful that testimony is public and available to all once it is present. Persons testifying today are advised that the hearing is being broadcast on the internet and may be heard by persons listening online. And written testimony provided at the hearing will be distributed to each member of the committee and will be available on the legislator's website for viewing by all interested parties. Let's start with introductions with, to my left.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm State Representative Mick Devin. I represent House District 51, which are most of the towns along the Damascotta River and Monhegan Island.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Saxton. I represent House District 64, which is Harpsville, Phippsburg, and part of West Bath.
Good morning. I'm Ellen Winchenbach. I represent House District 50, Bremen, Nobleboro, Waldoboro, and part of Jefferson.
I'm Wendell Weaver. I represent most of the town of York.
I'm Chuck Kruger from Thomaston, also representing St. George, South Thomaston, part of Owl's Head, Matinicus, and Cree Haven.
Good morning. I'm Ralph Chapman, representing House District 37, the six coastal Hancock County towns of Blue Hill, Brooksville, Castine, Penobscot, Sedgwick, and Surrey.
Good morning. I'm Pete Doak. I represent District 33, the towns of Steuben, Millbridge, Cherryfield, Harrington, Addison, Columbia, Columbia Falls, Beals Island, and Jonesport.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Dickerson. I represent Rockland and part of Owl's Head.
Senator Chris Johnson, representing Lincoln County, all except the town of Dresden, and adding the towns of Windsor, Washington, and Friendship. I might get pulled out for votes in another committee meeting, just to let you know. It's no indication of lack of interest or disrespect, but where our time is divided here, we'll see what happens today. I'm going to try to be here all day if I can.
That goes for other representatives who may have to testify or have work in other committees. I'm Walter Kamiga. As I said, I represent Final Haven, North Haven, Isle of Hoe, Stonington, Deer Isle, Brooklyn, part of Mount Desert, Tremont, Swans Island, and Frenchboro. We're going to hear and to my left is our committee clerk, Diane Stewart. Anybody with written testimony should give it to Diane for distribution to the committee. And to my right is our committee analyst, Amy Winston. We're going to hear a public hearing on LD 1687, an act to create parity for proprietary information submitted to the department, and LD 1689, an act to encourage and protect innovation in fisheries, aquaculture, and seafood processing. And those two bills are similar and sponsored by the same person, so we're going to hear the testimony on those together. If persons could indicate which bill they prefer or oppose with their testimony, that would be helpful. And then after that, we're going to hear testimony on LD 723, an act to improve enforcement of marine resources laws. And after that, we'll begin work sessions. So if we could have the sponsor of LD 1687, Representative Beavers.
Good morning, honorable chairs and members of this distinguished committee. I am Representative Roberta Beavers. I serve the people of Elliott and part of South Berwick in District 148. And like you, I serve on another committee, Energy, Utilities, and Technologies. Before I start, I just want to relate a little incident and let you know I learned something about your industry. On Monday, I went to the Gulf of Maine Research Institute with two fifth grade classes from my district, and I went through their lab venture and learned a lot, including the fact, something I didn't know, that adult cod eat lobsters. Is that commonly known? I'm sure by you. Oh, okay. I can understand that. Anyway, thank you for the opportunity to present LD 1687 and LD 1689. First thing I'd like to do is request that you might consider merging these two bills because they both seek to protect innovation and proprietary information in the marine resource industries. Specifically, they provide that records describing research for the development of processing techniques for fisheries, aquaculture, and seafood processing, or the design and operation of a depuration plant in the possession of the Department of Marine Resources are not subject to disclosure under the Freedom of Information Act, and that's part of Title I. And secondly, to allow certain businesses licensed under the Marine Resources Law to request that certain information submitted to the Department of Marine Resources be kept confidential to protect the proprietary business information, and that, of course, is in the title you're well familiar with, 12. My constituents, Lori and Tom Howell of Spinney Creek Shellfish Company, originated the requests for these bills through me and the Maine Department of Marine Resources. Lori will share with you parts of LD 1687 that they believe still need some work and clarification. She will also be able to answer questions related to the technical aspects of this bill. I just want to have you keep in mind that Spinning Creek Shellfish Company has invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in R&D and recently received FDA approval for innovative technology, which has the potential to open significant acreage of highly productive, permanently closed growing areas impacted by the municipal wastewater treatment plant outfall. This will be especially beneficial during summer months when it is difficult to supply the markets. This technology will lead to numerous new jobs over the next several years, including higher paying jobs right in Elliott and access to greater collection for clammers in Maine. Please support the protection of innovation in Maine's marine industries. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any co-sponsors? I don't see any other representatives. Testimony in favor of the bill?
Senator Johnson, Representative Kamiga, members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources. My name is Meredith Mendelson. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Marine Resources, and I'm testifying on behalf of the department in support of LD 1687. The first two sections of this bill correct a reference to existing confidentiality language. The existing statute refers to seeding and harvest plans submitted by aquaculture leaseholders or limited purpose aquaculture license holders as being protected under Section 6077. Section 6077 applies exclusively to finfish aquaculture facilities and therefore is not applicable to non-finfish LPA licenses or other types of aquaculture. The department believes the existing intent to protect confidential information submitted by all aquaculturists, not just finfish, is clear, and so proposes to correct this reference by identifying Section 6173 as the appropriate provision protecting confidential information pertaining to fisheries data, which would include seeding and harvest plans. The third section of the bill would create parity with existing protections for similar types of business information for certain license holders who may be seeking to conduct research or develop new technologies. The department currently requires submission of numerous types of information which may have proprietary value, but which should remain a data collection requirement in order to ensure appropriate oversight by the department. This section would allow for information submitted by special license holders or depuration facilities to be designated as confidential, and then should a request be made for this information by the public, the burden would rest with the submitter to justify the protection of that information as truly proprietary in nature to the department's satisfaction before the department would deny the request. The department would recommend one amendment to the language after further consideration of the potential implications, which would be to eliminate the non-confidential information provision in Section 3. Currently, some of the information DMR collects for purposes of issuing a license or certificate would indeed be of a proprietary nature. So that clause would, in the case of certain types of information, conflict with the overall intent of this bill. The elimination of this provision would not impact the public's right to request access to that information. In conclusion, the bill seeks to strike a critical balance, one which supports innovative technologies and methodologies and protects legitimate business interests while also preserving appropriate oversight authority as well as opportunities for public access to information related to public trust resources and public health. Thank you for your time. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Representative Chapman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your testimony. I do have a question which it falls under the general matter of why does DMR need proprietary information, but it's more specifically, it suggests that the department needs to oversee some procedures that might require that information. And since this committee has legislative oversight of the department, could you comment on the degree to which that information is accessible by this committee? Thank you.
Sure. So some of the, to answer your first question, some of the information that we collect is required in order for us to remain in compliance with the model shellfish ordinance. I can provide specific kinds of information if you'd like at the work session, and I suspect some other folks behind me may comment directly on other types of information. As far as this committee's access to that information, again, all any information that's treated as confidential under the department's standards, I believe, would be for fisheries data is certainly treated the same way. The committee does not have the ability to access that information any differently than the existing than the general public does. It has to be held confidential, and that is part of our obligation under federal law. So I don't know how there might be a way to address that with regard to this specific information, but.
Representative Devin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Mendelson, thank you very much. I understand where you're coming from very clearly. I think I'll just follow on from Mr. Chapman's question. I recently had a request for some information about the elver fishery so that we could use that information to make sound marine policy. And when this board can't get access to that information so that we can then make sound marine policy, it does seem to put us in a position where we really can't do our job properly. And I'm wondering, is this a bill where we could actually address that issue?
Thanks for the question, Representative Devin. I would argue that there are two separate issues. In this situation, this issue is your jurisdiction, and you could perhaps handle it differently than the issue of confidential fishery statistics related to landings, which are, again, governed by federal law, and our compliance with that federal law is why we are unable to share that information in a non-aggregated form.
But would you agree that by not providing that information from us limits us and our ability to do our job?
I believe there are reasons why Congress created that protection for that level of individual data. I certainly appreciate your concern, but I believe there's generally a way to look at aggregated data and establish the same sorts of understanding that you're looking to achieve by looking at individual landings information.
So when you're trying to determine how to set individual quotas, it's tough to deal with aggregated data. And also, we don't need the personal information associated with those individual landings. We just need the landings themselves. So I think the individual fishermen can be protected at the same time the committee can get the information so that it can do its job. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Ms. Mendelson made a good, that's kind of off the subject of this bill. But, I mean, I've seen for shrimp data, for example, there were some years where shrimp landings from the states of Massachusetts and New Hampshire were aggregated because under federal law, there were so few fishermen in one of those states that in some years that it fell under the confidentiality laws. They couldn't be reported separately. So I have seen it, you know, in pretty broad context that's come into play. So your testimony is on LD 1687. Does the department have a position on 1689 or?
I think our general preference would be to address this issue within our own title. There are comparable provisions that we think address the nature of a broader scope of things that we'd like to address through this bill.
So you don't have a position on other than you prefer 1687? Can you bring language to work session for the change that?
Generally, I might just propose the elimination of that provision altogether, I think, at this point. But yes, if I can just.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Any other testimony in favor of the bill?
Good morning, Senator Johnson, Representative Kamega, honorable members of the Marine Resources Committee. My name is Lori Howell, and I'm pleased that you have entertained these bills this morning. I think that they may go a long way to redressing some concerns that several in the industry have had over the years and have just come to a head recently. Indulge me for a few minutes. I am going to be speaking to both bills at the same time, and I guess I see that perhaps they may be consolidated at some point, but I'll let you guys work that out. Spinney Creek Shellfish is in our 30th year in business. We're located down in Elliott, Maine, and we run a depuration plant. Depuration is a system where shellfish are held in racks of flowing, sterilized seawater. Shellfish being filter feeders, they tend to pump about 100 gallons a day, and of water often can become contaminated with whatever's in the water column. What we do is that they continue to pump while they're sitting in those racks, and they basically just purge their little systems clean while taking in perfectly clean water to replace that. We're a family-owned business. In the wintertime, we employ 10 people. In the summer, that just about doubles. In addition, we provide a source of, we buy shellfish from a lot of different areas, from approved areas as well as from the restricted areas in Maine, and provide a source of income for between 30 and 150 harvesters in any given year, some of whom derive most of their income through selling to us. So, you know, it's not strictly just the employment numbers down in Elliott. It does have impacts further within the state. Depuration itself is fairly rare in the United States. There's only about 5 plants in the United States. There's a similar number in Canada, but there's far more plants in Europe, which has embraced the technology more. I think there's a few in Asia as well, Australia, New Zealand. The process itself perhaps has its origins in techniques that were used back in ancient China in the BC times, when people were said often to harvest shellfish and then hang them off of docks and weirs and areas closer to town to clean the shellfish. If you think hard about the status of sewage treatment in those days, you have to wonder whether they were making them better or making them worse, but it has been around a long time. At Spinney Creek, we have engineered our own facility. We have, and despite its long history, every depuration facility that I've visited, and it's quite a few, there's a fairly close-knit community worldwide, is every plant is extremely different. They're designed for different species, as the process does apply to all mollusks and shellfish, and they all seem to be laid out differently. We ourselves have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars on engineering, research, design, construction. We are always improving our facility, making the process itself better, as well as always making sure that we meet local, state, and federal requirements for sanitation for this type of a facility. We also conduct research on our current and new processes and how to make those processes better. And recently, as Representative Beaver mentioned, we have invested over about 6 or 8 years, and kind of been a long road, on a new process that allows us access to previously under flats that were not available for harvest. And I think that we'll see this type of thing spread to some other states as well, which may present additional opportunities here in Maine for the processing work. Running a depuration plant in Maine is difficult and it's costly. One thing that complicates this is that with all shellfish harvesting, all the fishermen, harvesters, and processors are competing for a public resource, and that means that we often see the ugly side of people as we, what appears to be, to others looking in from the outside, a successful venture. Last October marked the start of our 30th year in business. It seems a long time. Over that time, we've been the subject of several Freedom of Access Act requests. These requests have been made for the Department of Marine Resources, and for the most part, they have focused on obtaining documents that the department has been required to collect for our facility. Other requests have been made for sampling results, our thought processes, technical correspondence, and other things that we have shared with the Department of Marine Resources. Mollusk and shellfish are what the federal authorities consider to be a potentially hazardous food, and therefore the regulation of shellfish is very tightly controlled. And DMR is this state's shellfish control authority, which means they're charged with the authority for regulating our business, ensuring that all the shellfish that we process when we're talking about depuration are safe, and they're also charged with approving any new processes. I'd like to think that my husband and I and our staff are out-of-the-box thinkers, and I'd like to think it's simply because we're brilliant and innovative. I think rather it's a more a case of the fact that it's been a matter of survival. It's been difficult to stay in business. And one of the reasons we've developed a lot of improvements to our process, and in order for us to make improvements and to propose and utilize new technologies, we need to communicate with DMR very openly and very freely. We have no desire to obstruct that, and in fact we want to facilitate that communication. So to do so, we often snow them with paperwork on detailed studies, results, sampling, and make presentations to the department to show them why our process or what we're proposing is a good thing and in the interest of Maine. So for us to then have to have the department turn over certain aspects of this information to others simply for the asking is wrong. We've invested, and it's proprietary information. Since its implementation in 1966, the Federal Freedom of Information Act has led to a lot of changes in our society. It led to the recall of the Ford Pinto, the resignation of Vice President Agnew, recall of Red Dye No. 2, led to restrictions on use of Agent Orange, and many, many other things. But today, the most common Freedom of Information Act request collateral statutes in different states under their Freedom of Access Acts, and there is one in every state in the United States, has been requests from businesses about their competitive businesses. The most requests do not come from the press or from aggrieved parties or special interest groups. They really come from businesses wanting to know how their competitors are doing things. For example, Coca-Cola keeps its recipe a secret. There's a reason for that, because if they didn't, everybody else would be using the exact same recipe. So other businesses in the modern day, and it was not the intent of the legislation when it was passed back in 1966, but in modern day, it's used for gaining the trade secrets of a company. So the public right to know, I understand, must be balanced against the economic needs of business, and the purposes of the right to know laws are actually antithetical to the concept of modern-day business trade secrets. The bills that Representative Beavers has submitted on behalf of our company, as well as on behalf of the department in sponsoring that, would add additional protections for fishing, seafood processing, and aquaculture. And I think that this is necessary to allow the work that we do here in Maine in this industry to advance and become and remain the national leaders. I would also suggest perhaps in there with regard to the bill that 1680, 9 that Representative Beavers submitted, that we might have a timeline that the department, after which the department would either eliminate that information or return it to the submitter. Because right now there's, you know, troves of information there that goes back a very, very long time, and it's actually difficult, especially if you do make a change in the law. And as a matter of public policy, this committee really should be submitting or considering the impact and things that would aid effective regulation of our industry. And what does it tell the public that all a so-called entrepreneur must need to do to start a business in Maine is ask for somebody else's business information? That's not something that's going to allow our state to grow and to develop our fisheries further. I think, frankly, it would undermine the communication that the department needs to have with the industry that it regulates. In general, I agree with the department's 16, the department's bill. I had originally planned to say that it needed some additional work, but with withdrawal of paragraph number 3 or section number 3 on the non-proprietary information, I think most of those concerns are alleviated. So I will belabor that. And then in 1689, this would actually create a definition in Title I for, or add to the definition of a public record, and provide an exemption for proprietary information pertaining to this industry, and prevent certain types of information from disclosure to the public. And again, I think it's really important for the department to for the committee to understand that we want to provide the department with information, but we need to protect that information at the same time. We want to move the industry forward, but we don't want it to be released to others who are thinking about investing in the same business, and it's much easier, rather than doing their own research, than just to ask for the department to release it to them. So, and finally, I guess I would just like to say is, you know, I think that this would really move the fisheries forward and would keep Maine open for business, as our governor likes to say, because I think it sends the wrong message to just allow free access to information to others. And I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Representative Chapman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your testimony. I do have a question regarding the Freedom of Information Act, which is federal. Is it your thought that if we were to pass the legislation before, we recommend passage of the legislation before us, and this were enacted into law, that that would protect you as well from federal Freedom of Information Act requests, or is this really pertinent only to the Freedom of Access Act requests in Maine statute?
I believe, Representative Chapman, it would only address Maine's Freedom of Access Act. I don't believe that we sitting here have any authority to overturn any portion of the Freedom of Information Act, as much as we might want to.
Thank you.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you. I'm going to try to ask a slightly different version of that question. I'm trying to understand whether all of your concerns, given the information you provide and who you provide it to, around the proprietary nature would be dealt with by this bill, or will there also be concerns about data that's shared with the federal government and would therefore be subject to their laws on the, whether it's proprietary or not?
This would, if I understand your question correctly, yeah. Senator Johnson, this would apply to information that we provide to the Department of Marine Resources, which is not governed by the Freedom of Information Act necessarily. It's Maine's own statute. So in Maine governing us in our shellfish business or in other aspects of the seafood industry, information provided to the DMR would be governed by what you do here
that
today.
That I understand. I guess I'm going to try to ask my question a little more clearly then. Obviously, based on wanting these bills, you're concerned about the proprietary nature or protection of proprietary information that you provide to the state. Is that the extent of your concerns, or is there also information that is shared with the federal government for which you have similar concerns?
We are almost entirely regulated by the state of Maine.
Right.
FDA oversees what DMR does,
but
just as
DMR
you oversee DMR, but that information is provided to Maine.
Right. Okay. That's what I was hoping to get to.
So I think it would get to the majority of the concerns because we really do not, in fact, the department looks down upon FDA intruding on what is typically their turf, so to speak, in terms of regulations. So
from your perspective, then, if I understand you correctly, this would get to the vast majority of your concerns around
it would,
access
yes.
by competitors.
Representative Weaver.
Thank you, Ms. Howell, for your comments. Would you mind if I invited the Marine Resource Committee down to our area to look through your operation?
I would not mind,
as
long as you don't take pictures. But I just wanted to say is in the past I have written to this committee pretty much every year, although I may have been remiss this year in inviting you to come down, because I think it would show you a very different side of what happens in fisheries in Maine and some of the things that are possible.
Well, go ahead.
Thank you.
I've had the opportunity, as you know, to visit with you quite often, and it's really worth the time and effort. If you're ever around York, I'll drive you over there and you'll have pay for the gas, but I'll drive you over.
Representative Kruger.
Thank you, Senator Snomello. would that be in the pink Cadillac that you drive us over? I'm concerned about the phrase proprietary information. I like the idea of this bill. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of protecting your innovation, because I'm, even though I haven't been to your plant, I'm aware of what you've been doing,
right.
And I think it's great, and I certainly don't want to discourage it. But I am concerned about the term proprietary information, because another committee that Senator Johnson and I serve on, we're dealing with what I would probably call a misuse of the Freedom of Information Act. And or a misapplication of it, and I would hate to see this committee support a bill that then made the work of the Right to Know Committee and the law, which doesn't have enough teeth in it, in fact, the FOIA law, have a problem. So I'm wondering if you have some insight into that term, proprietary information, that makes sure that you are protected in what you want to do, but that it can't be used by others, perhaps, to hide information behind, information that is not what we think of as proprietary information, but in fact is being kept from the public or more important, from the media or whatever. Do you have any insight on that?
I come sadly unprepared for that level of discussion, although I'd be happy to do further research on that. But I did want to also let you know that Representative Beavers and I did travel, I think it was in October or November, to the Right to Know Committee and did speak to them and listen to their discussions, although they didn't get into any particular depth of discussion about this particular bill. I think it's also important to make sure that one of my suggestions was going to be is to add wording similar to that used for the rules of evidence so that things that would be considered proprietary would also include, but not be limited to, those things that would not be admissible in a court under that definition of proprietary information.
And you understand where I'm sort of
I do. I do.
That I want to protect your
right,
proprietary
I do.
Information because you're doing some work.
And I think it's really important, and I think you raise a good point, that we parse out particularly where the dividing line is to the extent that we can. But I think, you can say there's not enough teeth in the FOIA law, and that's probably true in many regards, but I think there's overuse of it in others, and somehow
yes.
we have to find that balancing point.
Exactly. Thank
yeah.
you.
I think the other thing we need to keep in mind is the Judiciary Committee will have a bite at this, and if we don't define something properly, they will probably pick that up. So I think that's all the questions. Thank you very much.
And if you were engage me, can I present some testimony that was also submitted to be on this bill? It's very short.
Oh, sure.
From another person, I
please,
should say.
Please go ahead.
I wonder if I can just find it here. Now you have to pretend I'm much shorter and have red hair. This is testimony that was presented or submitted by Darcy Kuchar, who has a company, Resource Access International. You may possibly recall Darcy used to run the biotoxin program for the Department of Marine Resources. She has now started a private lab in Maine doing biotoxin work, mostly bringing in dollars from another state, which I guess the economists tell us is what we really like to do. So Ms. Kuchar says, Senator Johnson, Representative Kamega, and distinguished committee members, I greatly appreciate the opportunity to speak in support of LD 1687 and LD 1689. As the lead scientist and woman owner of a small business less than 2 years old in Midcoast, Maine, I would like to speak in full support of both of these acts. My work deals with creating and running environmental studies and finding innovative approaches to solve marine-related industry issues, and I have worked very hard to build this company in this short time to the point where I now have 3 full-time employees on my payroll to assist me in this field work. I have applied to the Department of Marine Resources for a special license each year to collect and analyze shellfish samples, and I expect that the scope of my work will continue to expand and will require additional special license requests in the future. The department requires a detailed submission of my results on a weekly basis, as well as an annual summary report of all of my activities and findings at the end of each year. I spend my own company time and resources to conduct this work and analyze these data, with the hope that my efforts will lead to results and information that will be potentially valuable in commercial applications and will continue to grow my business and add jobs to Maine's economy. My particular field of study is a small one in which most of the players are known to each other, and any newcomers only need to ask a few questions to find out who is doing what. And while I have absolutely no problem providing the department with any of the information they need in order to feel comfortable issuing me a special license for my activity, I believe it is critical to have some protection, some protection in place for this information to shield it from competitors seeking to make a simple phone call or email to the department to request copies of my data and detailed information about my projects, taking full advantage of my years of work and cheating me out of the opportunity to reap the rewards from the work that I performed and paid for with my own resources. The small business business climate in Maine is already a challenging one, and any small steps that our legislature can take to help ensure that the resources that these small businesses put forward toward growth and expansion are not hijacked by competitors who seek to benefit from the work of others and would be a welcome addition. Sincerely, Darcy Kuchar.
Thank you for that. I suppose since Darcy's not here, we can't ask her any questions.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else testify in favor of the bill? Anyone testifying in opposition? Anyone testifying neither for nor against?
Okay. Could I just say to Representative Beavers that while it's true that occasionally adult ground fish do eat small lobsters, they generally send a condolence cod.
I had to recognize it, didn't I? Closes the public hearings for LD 1687.